Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Sam and Greg on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Three, four. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. And take us with you on the Odyssey app. It is Sam and Greg. Thank you for letting us be a part of your Sunday mornings. It's the 8th day of December. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning to all of you first responders and teachers in Panthersville.
Okay.
I decided I'm going to throw them in there.
Okay.
I figured that really kind of covers a wide, is it sloth of people?
Sloth
of people. I want to say sloth. But I was thinking about this past week. We said, you know what, we used to regularly reach out to the first responders.
Yeah.
And we just haven't done that as much. Yeah. So when we mention these cities, well, we mentioned the first responders.
Okay.
And next
step, they are awake and they are working.
Yeah, they are. They are. And then you and I throw the other group in because that isn't a connection to you and I. Both our mothers were teachers.
Oh, absolutely.
So that's who y'all going to get. Anyway, this is one of them good mornings, man. This is morning. We don't have a lot
it's
of time.
It's starting to get warmer. It's warming up a little bit.
Outside?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't feel it. I'm layered.
No, well, it's warming up a little bit. I mean, it's not as frigid as it's been the last couple of days. It's going to.
No.
And the day, I think, it's going to actually get up to around 60. It felt good in the afternoon yesterday. But, I mean, when you came out of that game yesterday, you know, it was dark and the temperature was starting to drop, so you kind of felt it. But you could have dropped a layer yesterday if you were out there tailgate.
Yeah.
You know, in the afternoon, right around between 2 and kickoff.
And depending on what you had at the game, you probably weren't cold anyway.
Well, that's the part. And we want to thank everybody who came to town, right? And filled up our hotel rooms.
Uh-huh.
And our restaurants. Well, I don't know about the potholes.
These people, I know they are.
You know,
the folks had
to fly in. These people had to fly in. They didn't drive over.
Not everybody.
You know, well,
think everybody drove in here? They make us.
I don't think Matthew McConaughey was out.
No, he did not drive.
I don't think he drove.
I don't think he drove in. I think a few other people. I don't think Vince Young drove in.
Was Bijan out there? I didn't even think about it. Oh, nah,
he's on a flight. He's on a flight. He had to go, right, man.
We were wondering.
He's going on a business trip.
Yeah, he got stuff to do. Yeah,
he got a business.
You got 100 yards and 2 tees to get today.
Later on today, right?
We will have the show laced with the positive stuff. But let's just start off. We were thinking of our coworker yesterday. Speaking of getting to watch the game, Noel, we were thinking of David Archer. Hoping he'd get a chance to watch his Iowa State, because Falcons take off around noon or so. At least we didn't have their itinerary. And they were the first big game yesterday. And
Arizona State was impressive.
I had not seen that team. I had to, like, think back to when this young coach took over? Now, he's the guy. Is he the guy that came in after Herm Edwards?
Yeah, I believe so.
Wow.
I believe.
So this is like his second year?
Second or third.
Something like that?
Yeah.
And he only 34. You know, what he has done, what he has turned around, is far, and there is few places better to have a very successful program than Tempe, Arizona.
Yeah, no,
you could do a whole lot worse. You know what I mean? That's a beautiful place to have it. So, you listen, sorry for we'll be thinking about David today, but the Iowa State Cyclone season ended yesterday to Arizona State. And by the way, would you put a week's worth of salary on them making the 12-team playoff?
Who's
when
this?
The season start, Arizona State?
No, you know, you had a couple of, you got some unknowns that end this, which I think is great. You know, we always talked about it when it's just four teams. Mm-hmm. Before the season started, you almost knew who the four teams were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, that's been the beauty of this playoff, is that, you know, this college football playoff ranking. You kind of don't know. And we still won't know until 12 noon today.
Well, it's a four-hour TV show.
Well, yes, right.
So they're going to make you sit through that.
Yeah.
It'll probably be the fourth quarter of the Falcons game. You can just flip over and find out what's what. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We're going to do a deep dive into the games from yesterday, give you an overview of what we got going on. And we got ourselves a team in the quarterfinals in professional basketball.
How about that?
The Atlanta Hawks taking on, they got Denver today. But Wednesday will be the quarterfinals of this in-season tournament, and they're taking on the Knicks.
And where they're taking them on? Where are they playing?
Well, you wouldn't ask me a question.
No, man, they're going to Vegas.
I forgot about that for a second. I'm sitting there going, that's right, they're going to go out there. I wish they were playing in Madison Square. Trey has a wonderful time there, don't he?
Yeah,
it will be Madison Square. They got to win in Madison Square to
get
to
Vegas. See, you were wrong.
I thought they were going to Vegas.
Nah, the finals.
I did too, but apparently they have to win in Madison Square to get to Vegas.
Yeah,
so quarterfinals is the game to get to Vegas.
That's right.
I thought we were going to Vegas too.
Well, like all of a sudden there's a whole lot of we going on.
Yeah, I know, we.
It's always we with me. Uh-huh.
When you win six straight games, there's a whole lot of people start saying we, right?
And people with. You know, that are going to the hall, they're going to get gold jackets, you know, that they didn't pay for. They had a look on their face this past week, meaning LeBron and, you know, just some other folks. That the Hawks are just – you cannot figure out this Hawks team. I'm enjoying the fact that I'm seeing things that I have not seen as far as their play and the dispersion of the ball and movements and defense in a way that I just – I'm looking forward to this football season being over with. Because then I will focus on these Hawks. You know, I'm one of these people that just I can't.
Well, that's the way we are in this part of the country, period. And that's why I always say we don't have Kyle Sandy this morning. But I always say people are missing out on the best part of the basketball season. And so it's high school season, because you got all these big matchups going on. You got great college tip-off events that we kind of ignore. You know, Georgia's off to a tremendous start. Their basketball team's off to a great start. Friday night, while the Lakers were in town playing, I stopped by Georgia State. They were playing Kennesaw State. Big crowd. I mean, they're going to make that a thing now, a basketball rivalry right down I-75.
Good.
And so, it's a great part of the season. Yeah, our focus is still mainly football, but we got some cool basketball stuff happening
right
now.
Okay.
You know what I mean? We really do. And we beat LeBron James. Rare that is. And it seemed like he was going to make it happen again Friday night.
He did, too.
He was just determined. He's blocking shots from behind people. Man,
how
this
do you
dude's
not know when that
back.
Dude's on the court? If you're going down the court, you got a breakaway. You go, no, I don't.
Right.
You got to think that.
I'm like, you know, that's just the thing. It's always been that way when he comes to play here. It doesn't matter if it's Cleveland, Miami, or Lakers. That dude always, you know, slides it up a notch in this town. I don't know why.
Remember that situation
where
the woman was yelling at him from the – so he's going to try and stick it to Atlanta, just period.
Yeah.
Because the way he allegedly is being treated.
Well, not just that. He's one of them people you don't want to poke the bear. I remember watching one game, Jermaine Dupri, the rapper, was sitting courtside, and they were talking. They were talking, and the Hawks players were like, you know what I mean? And because that's – he just slides it up a notch, man.
Damn.
And that was the thing that was so good about Friday night, was to see the team not fold, to see them continue to play good defense, and Trey coming out making a shot. Because Trey's been struggling with his shot lately. He's been getting a lot of assists and whatnot, but he's been struggling with his shot lately. And to see it come through for that game Friday night was.
Well, again, we are going to talk Hawks. We're going to talk college football. We got some other stuff going on. D-Led's going to join us in the 7 o'clock hour. Got a busy 8 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about Celebration Bowl with John Grant. And then Steve Holman will piggyback on what we have said, talking about
the Hawks. I can't wait, man. Bang!
Which, but listen, I got two stories I have to tell you from this past week. So let's do our story of the week. Hopefully Noel's got that ready and hit it.
It's time for Sam and Greg's story of the week.
Could be sports.
Grapefruit League activity.
Could be news.
Could be entertainment.
This is our first time on the VMAs.
It could be, well, anything.
You know what I'm saying?
Sam and Greg's story of the week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Here's Sam and Greg.
I'm going to go first here. I'm going to get mine out of the way. And this has, I got two stories. One I'm going to save. And it has to do with he ran into me while I was blessed to be on set for His and Hers this week. We had the shoot on Tuesday. Ran into some people I didn't know was on the show. And I've been fans of theirs as an actor. For a while. And I was like, oh, man, I didn't know you'd be here. And so it was a very nice day on set. And I'll tell you where we were, because on what side of town we were, and most of you may know this location. But that's not my story of the week. I heard something this past week. It is a story that has been told before, but I hadn't heard it until this past week. How many of the Shrek movies have you guys seen? Yeah, come on in here, Noel. Sam, you seen any of the Shrek movies?
Oh, yeah.
I've seen all three.
You've seen all three, right? The kids have grown up on Shrek, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Did you know, and I did not know this.
I just found out this week.
You know what I'm talking about, too?
I just found out this week what you're going to say.
Did you know that Shrek was Mike Myers?
No.
And Fiona was not supposed to be.
Well, that one I don't know about, and they could have got a different actress. But it's Shrek. It's the lead for this. It was written for somebody else. And when I heard it out loud, I went, oh, my goodness gracious, that makes sense. That makes absolute sense. You know who it was?
Who's that?
Who was supposed to be Shrek? Chris Farley.
I never heard that.
Yeah. And he had actually recorded some.
He
scenes.
Recorded all the dialogue.
Well, I don't know about all of it, but he did a number of scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the unfortunate
It was almost
happened.
Finished, yeah.
And they had to retool this thing. But it was Chris Farley. Let that roll around in your head for a minute. Was supposed to be. Now, we were. Earlier, Noel was in here, and we were talking about accents from different regions, and that there's no thicker Midwestern accent than Chris Farley, right? But when you think about Shrek, now that Mike Myers has put this Scottish accent on him,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to think about that and who he was. And as a matter of fact, Mike Myers, who I heard this, he was in an interview talking about this, talked about how he wasn't comfortable when he first started doing it. And he had to, like, back up, and he was going to quit. He couldn't wrap his mind around. We hear that all the time. James Gandolfini, the same thing. He could not wrap his arms around Tony Soprano. Initially, walked out of the interview. They had to go get him. Yeah, they had all these actors, and most of which you saw on The Sopranos during the run of the show. But when they got to Gandolfini, this dude was an actor's actor, right? And he could not find what we eventually saw as Tony Soprano initially. Same thing with Mike Myers. And then he said he didn't know if he was going to give him, because Shrek was supposed to be this kind of character, he was going to do his own natural, over-the-top Canadian accent. He's Canadian, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Instead of that...
You say a boat. A boot.
Exactly. A whole lot of those. But he wasn't feeling that and didn't do it. And when he does the across-the-pond accents, he's always thinking of his mother, he says, because she's British.
Okay.
So he went to the Scottish accent for that. But I had not heard that. And so that's among other things that are obviously a lot more important that happened this past week. I'm going to hang my hat on that. I did not know. And because Shrek is so much a part of film in, you know, these last 30 years or so. So that's mine. How about you? Got anything? I know you had a lot of stuff on your plate. If you don't have
a lot of stuff, you know what? I got something. I'll actually do something high school. And because we're headed for the state championship games, we're all set. And, you know, we're going to have a round table next Friday night from 7 to 10. Chris Parker is going to be here with us and our crew. You know, Garrett Chapman and Day-Day Lewis and Eric Slaughter are all going to be in studio. And we're going to have some fun. We're going to eat some stuff and leave some crumbs around here. But we're going to set up the state championship games. And of all the coaches that are going, the coach at Marist is one that I just want to shine a spotlight on, and that is Alan Chadwick. He took over as head coach there in 1985.
Wow.
He is the winningest active coach with 445 wins, 80 defeats, But in all those years of coaching, according to the Georgia High School football historians, he's never coached a tie. How you coach from 1985 to now, and you never have, and you no, there are no ties on his record.
I'm so, you
know, got 400, you got 445 wins.
Yeah, I guess.
80, and you all know who one of his prized pupils, of course, is the coach out with the Rams. So that's the.
You're going to continue, people out there don't know who you're talking about. There's people out there who don't know who you're
talking. You always talking much.
I know. Well, why you forget his name?
No, you
Sean
always
McVay.
Talking. You always talking.
But there's people who didn't know who you were talking about.
Well, the Rams coach, matter of fact, if you talk to him, he'll say the quarterback he has this year reminds him a lot of McVay. Now, will he get the state championship? And if he gets the state championship next week, will he ride off into the sun? We don't know that. We're not trying to push coach out the door. You know.
Okay.
He's at 445 wins this week, and to me, and his team was down Friday night. They came from behind to win. They beat Creekside, and we'll get into the scores and the setup of the state championship games. But just a shout out to him and something to watch. A lot of great backstories coming up with these state championship games that will be not this weekend, but next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Not tomorrow Monday, but next Monday. Right,
next Monday. All right, we're the opening act for a full day of football and basketball action. We're here till 9 o'clock. We have got Falcons of Minnesota, if you can't get in front of a TV, right here. Everything gets going pregame 11 and kickoff at 1. Then the Hawks in Denver are down on V103. Pre-tip at 5:30, tip at 6. And then tonight we got Chargers and Chiefs pregame at 7:30, kick at 8:15. We are just getting started on this 8th day of December. Shout out and rest in peace, Ella May. That's my grandmother. Right. That was her birthday today. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Simple. Fartwad gets his princess, I get what I want.
Which is? Now come on, what do you want?
I don't have time to set it to music.
Oh, this is another one of those onion things.
No, this is one of those drop it and leave me alone things.
All right, I'm trying to figure this out. You got me stumped a little bit. Oh, wait, it's coming back to me. But this is a theme to a TV show. Sam's trying to get me on. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Keep it going, Noel. I'm trying to figure out because he's playing it for a reason.
Yeah.
And I just feel happy that I've affected you this way. Hang on. What is, man?
What was the what?
I know it's a theme show. What was the show? And this has to do with George's win or kind
yes,
of a.
Yes, very much.
Okay, it ain't emergency.
No. The Fugitive. The Fugitive.
I never would have guessed that.
And why am I playing this? Because yesterday a one-armed man came out there in the final play with a snap for Georgia to win.
He did. Yes, he did.
Dr. Richard Kimball was searching for the one-armed man who had murdered his wife.
You went to the bottom of the ocean on that one. That was good.
Right?
Duke, I have trained you well.
And Noel sitting there like, huh?
Yeah, I didn't know what it was, but I see where you went with that. That was nice. That's some crazy stuff I would do. But that was well executed. You get a gold medal for that one. Your dismount was beautiful.
Hey, what's the chances? What's the chances of that happening yesterday? That Carson Beck leaves the game. There's a pinch. They're in a pinch, and they just need somebody to come in because, you know, Stockton has the helmet knocked off. He has to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got to bring somebody in. But you don't want somebody that's going to come in there and drop the ball or something.
That
you know?
Was the one time that I have been watching Carson Beck for the last few weeks where I didn't want him to even think about throwing the ball. But this was the only time I knew he wasn't going to throw the ball.
Yeah.
All he had to do was turn and do what he did.
Yeah.
And so, that's what I was thinking about. Okay, you can bring him in to turn around and hand the ball off. If Kirby can't do it, by the way, did you enjoy Kirby once again playing a defensive back during that game?
Yeah.
I love when a camera catches him. There's a deep play. Kirby's right there with him.
He reverts back to the player days.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, my goodness. What a day. What a week here in town. And Georgia to do that. And say what you will about this team, about some of their flaws, some of their warts. And then they got more bodies they had to carry off the field yesterday. They had more injuries. With the punter, even had to leave the game. I mean, you got some people that are pretty valuable for this team. And this week they're going to have, this bye week. Hopefully they can get some of those people healthy. But this Georgia team has done it the hard way, Greg. They've done it the hard way. And last year, a lot of people snarled at them and scoffed at them because the schedule wasn't strong and the perception was, okay, they're running all these people out the field. And it's almost like they couldn't wait for them to stumble. It's almost like the prognosticators or whoever, they couldn't wait for that Georgia team to stumble because they were living up in the penthouse. Mm-hmm. But people felt like they hadn't earned it. They hadn't beaten anybody. This team, we knew, looking at the schedule when the season began, they were going to have to earn it. And there was some ups and downs. You know, there were some ups and downs. You know what I mean? I mean, you still can't erase what happened down in Oxford, Mississippi. They playing old got whooped down there, you know, or what happened down in Tuscaloosa either. But even with those things that set back, it tells the story of this team and how resilient this team is. And so you just have to tip your cap to them, man.
Not only that, you also saw the SEC in this championship game remind the rest of the football world that it's different down here.
Oh, yeah.
It's just different. You know, Oregon and Penn State, well, of course, you can say what you will, whether it was Penn State or Ohio State who played up against Oregon.
That wasn't a bad game.
It wasn't a bad game
at
all.
It wasn't a bad game at all.
But it wasn't one of those where you were going, man, I hope our quarterback don't get knocked out. I hope everybody gets out of this game. You know, attrition doesn't come into play here. It wasn't that kind. And the old Penn State, them days are over with. I mean, I really never even followed them this year. I was surprised to hear, once again, a few weeks back, if Ohio State had lost to Michigan, that Penn State might have slid up in there. But it was, you know what they say about purgatory? That game, that SEC championship game yesterday, it was like they aren't the NFL, but they ain't the rest of college football. It's somewhere in between. That's just the way I felt watching that game yesterday. And
I kept waiting for Arch Manning to come in and really give them a second gear. You know, knowing that Georgia has troubles with quarterbacks that are not going to stay stationary in that pocket, it's going to move around. But you know, Sarkisian went with his experience. He went with his one guy, and you know, he put up some impressive numbers, but also threw a couple of interceptions too, and Quinn Ewers. So I mean, it's a whole thing, and I don't know if Noelle's got anything set from Coach Kirby that we can run. But
I know she's grabbing it. She's got much.
Yeah,
sound.
I know she got
so much sound. All right, you fired off there. Let's hear from
you. Let us know what you got
from Georgia.
Well, let's see if she got something first.
She did. She gave me the thumbs up.
Oh, thumbs up. Okay. Well, let her rip.
I traditionally do. This is an unbelievable event venue. The SEC Championship, we've told our players it's just incredible in terms of the atmosphere, the play. I mean, typically for us, it's been a play-in or play-out game.
And he talks about that because some people going into this weekend talked about the relevance of the conference championship games.
Right.
You know, and whether it was the deal or not. And some conference championship games had some empty seats. Because here's the other side of this thing, Greg. You know, the fan base is going to be able to support these extra weeks. We're all excited about the reality TV show we're going to see.
Right.
But at what point do folks say, okay, I can afford to go to this one. Holidays here, can I afford to go to everywhere the team goes? Because you're going to be going to these places, you're going to fly in. You know, the hotel's going to want you to be committed 3 nights, not just you're not driving it for one night and stay, or your Airbnbs, whatever you take.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to require that. And so with each round, you know, you're adding games. The fan base is going to be able to carry that out.
Yeah, they'll figure it out because this is new. And moving forward, this is like a 3-year span of transition. Last year was the end of the 4-team. So what we're watching this year is different than last year. But this year, there's a whole lot of people walking around with their eyes closed or in the dark about what to do next and what well, should we go for the championship? Should we not? Would be in a better shape. You know, there's all nation about the conference championship, as you just mentioned, but also the objective is different. So next year, I think they will have a clear go about doing their business and positioning themselves as opposed to this year. And those questions about the SMUs and the other teams like that aren't the Alabamas and the which we can get into them too, the Texases and Georgias and all of them, it's a little bit different. The landscape is, I don't know, Sam, is it inching toward the haves and have-nots?
Well, it's already been that.
No, but I mean in a real visible way where you're supposed to be over here at this party, but y'all just not.
We'll find out later today.
We'll find out later today.
She has a sound now from Coach Smart talking about the decision to bring the one arm, the injured Carson Beck in. Let's hear that one, Noel.
No, I can't remember what game it was this year. We had a targeting somewhere where a helmet came off, and the officials came over and told us that the kid could stay in if it was confirmed targeting, and he had to come out if it wasn't. And so it immediately came to my mind when it happened with Gunner. I just assumed he would be able to stay in because I thought it was going to be targeting. Then I saw the replay and realized he led with his shoulder, and we were going to have to take a snap with another quarterback, which we were prepared to put Ryan in, Puglisi, and he knows the system.
Kirby's living well.
Yeah.
He's living well, yeah. And the decisions that he has made throughout the year, as maddening as Carson Beck has been watching him play, I didn't know. Do you know anything about Gunner?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I knew who he was. I heard his name, but I didn't know what kind of player he was. Hadn't seen him all year.
Yeah.
Hadn't seen him.
This guy comes out of Raven County High School and just rewrote the high school record books.
That's how you knew him. But yeah, most folks didn't know who he was.
But that's what Kirby's got over in that quarterback
room. That's what I'm saying, yeah.
And the kid he mentioned, Ryan, is even more. He's got a lot of talent, and people wonder why a kid like Julian Lewis chooses to go to Colorado than come to Georgia. That quarterback room is stacked pretty deep over there, He had a guy in Brock Vandegrift who left. He ended up being a starter up at Kentucky from last year. It's pretty well stocked. Gunner Stockton instead to stay there and, bide his time, wait his turn to get his opportunity to do this. And he showed you a little bit of it yesterday.
He's going
to
be there for the next couple games. Beck's not coming back. That elbow looked like it needs tending to. And he already had some hitches in his giddy up anyway. So Kirby's got a decision to make. Find out if, his starter is healthy enough to do it. But then the other thing we always talk about, you specifically, is now these guys got tape on Gunner.
Yeah.
They're going to see what he's about.
That's the thing, because there wasn't any before.
There you go. A big game, too.
Right.
What he did. So
he didn't blink.
No, he didn't. And he got hit. Whew, man.
Yeah.
That shot he took. Oh, my goodness. So we're not down time. Listen, all this time on Georgia, we haven't even gotten to the other games for the most part. And just what was this city like last night, man?
Yeah.
got to wonder.
It had to be.
What? Awesome. Oh, man. I'm glad I wasn't in the streets. But there was a time I wish I was in the streets last night. That was one of those games. Hey, by the way, on this date, have you ever been out? You ever been out to Seattle?
Yes.
You been to the Space Needle?
I've been to Space Needle, but I've been to the original Starbucks.
Okay.
Does that count?
No, not for purposes of this.
What?
Today was the day that the top of the Space Needle was completed.
Okay.
So it was, opened up there.
It's a symbol of the city.
Exactly. So this was the date for it. We are here, let's see here, halfway through this 6 o'clock hour. Going to be here until 9 o'clock. Going to talk with D-Led coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. Got some money flying through the air. Also going to get into these Hawks up next. And what is next for them? What are they going to show you in this Vegas tournament, even though they got to go to New York first to get there. But it's been fun watching this Hawks team 6 in a row, and they got Denver today. It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, on this Sunday morning, December the 8th. See, Noel and I thought we'd be a little slick because you did the fugitive thing last break.
Yeah.
And we kind of maybe get you on this one.
No.
We knew you knew the music, but would you know the theme song to what show? And it took Sam about 2 seconds.
Yeah.
He went, Flip Wilson show. Boom. Who the guest stars, though, episode?
Oh, no telling. But here's the thing. It was them shows that, unfortunately, black folk, you got on the phone and call your neighbors.
Oh, yeah.
To make sure you're watching, folk on there,
Well,
we're on it, and first of all, one of the few shows that had a black host as a variety show, which the variety shows were a thing then, So it was one of the few that and so you got to see people casted in that light in a host role. And so that's why people, thought it was a big deal. Get on the phone, call your neighbors. Are you watching?
So-and-so. That would happen on Carol Burnett's show, too.
Yeah.
So-and-so was on Carol Burnett.
Somebody's on there. On there, right?
Johnny got so-and-so on tonight.
So-and-so going to be on. You call up. You watching?
Here's a question for you. Yeah. So who would have been one of Flip Wilson's regular guests on that show?
Oh, man.
Of the same ilk. How you like that? By the way, Clero.
There's a great routine he did with Richard Pryor.
That's not the guy, but that's a good job.
Yeah. I think they were both being ministers. I think they're both playing ministers.
I remember the name of his preacher.
Reverend Leroy.
But from the church of What's Happening Now.
Yeah, right. So
I should have said it differently because it wasn't a comedian, but I didn't know that these two, first of all, I played this because it would have been Flip's birthday, who we lost in 98.
Okay.
Also celebrating a birthday was one of his regular guests, Sammy.
Okay, Sammy Davis Jr.
Sammy Davis Jr. would have been his birthday today. Uh-huh. There's a whole lot of people celebrating a birthday on December 8th. I had no idea. I mean, going back to Mary, Queen of Scots. We could do Mary, Queen of Scots, to Eli Whitney, to Sammy Davis Jr., to Ferdy Pacheco.
Fight Doctor.
To Jim Morrison.
Yep.
To Greg Allman.
Man.
All celebrating a birthday today. To the woman who owns Brazelton, or used to, Kim Basinger.
Is her Basinger? Birthday too?
It would have been Kim Basinger's birthday
when
today.
She was at the game yesterday.
And two people who I did not know born on the same day. They both fall into the category of, oh yeah. You know, it's like kind of like what I say about the all-time great, some of them, and Tim Duncan, yeah, and Jimmy Johnson are left off that
list. Forget about, right?
These guys, both very famous at what they did, but they were just about a half a block from the penthouse. On ESPN, if you get interviewed back in the day, there was only one person you talked to, Roy Firestone.
Yeah.
He celebrates a birthday with a famous comedian, but he didn't make it to the penthouse, but everybody knows him, Sam Kennison.
Oh, man.
Think about that. Yeah. Sam Kennison and Roy Firestone on the same day.
I think Firestone's still doing his impressions routine or whatnot he's doing. He does these days.
Well, that's right. He did have a little act.
Yeah, he got a little act he's doing out in Tahoe or somewhere now. It's a little different. You know,
God bless.
I think that I don't know if that ESPN brought him back for the stream to do a little bit of what he used to. I always thought that was TV magic because it was be him, the guest, and like a fern tree or something, a plant
true,
or something,
yeah.
and that was it. And yeah. It would draw you in. Mm-hmm. The one-on-one conversation would draw you in. You would find out something about somebody like a John McEnroe that you thought was a jerk or something, and you found out something about how he goes to PTA meetings and how he's into music and art. And you say, okay, I wouldn't mind having this guy as a next-door neighbor. And to me, that's the thing that's always intrigued me about the one-on-one interview and something that I always work to. I look at somebody like Roy Firestone and try to take a little bit of that from him.
Because he knew that there was somebody around the corner doing that same job. And so back then it was trying to be as good or better than the other guy. And the other guy who was the gold standard was Dick Shapp.
Yep. Yep. And right? Dick Shapp came out of a newspaper, you know, print type and background and whatnot. But that was the show that they had for so many years on Sunday morning.
Sports reporters.
Was basically guys reading the Sunday sports page to you. It really was. The guys they basically read the Sunday sports page to you. I missed that show, but that's basically what they did. Well, we kind of do that. We kind of read the Sunday sports.
Yeah, we do. Folks. We're not angry like Lupica.
Oh, we got angry like most of them guys were angry on that show all the time. We have nothing to be angry about. Why? Because we have a basketball team that is playing great basketball and getting ready to face one of the premier players in the league later today when Denver comes to play. And we're going to have it at our cousin station.
We got a V103 pre-tip at 5:30, tip at 6. That is in between a couple big football games, Falcons up at Minnesota, in case you can't get in front of a TV for any of this stuff. We got that game, kick at 1 o'clock, pregame at 11. As I said, Hawks and Denver and V103, and then the Chargers and the Chiefs tonight. Pre-kick at 7:30, kick at 8:15.
Hawks are 2 games over .500. They have played their way to get to back to 2 games over .500, and some people may say, well, that's all 2 games. No, you don't know where this team's been.
Already, get her headphones on her because we're going to hear what she got to say.
You know what I mean? Where this team has been early in this season, had to deal with a rash of injuries right out of the gate, and you just gradually got the people back healthy and getting them back to playing their roles. And we hope we can keep these folks healthy for a while because that's always been a problem. The one guy who I've singled out time and time again, we talk with, you know, Terrell Thomas, and later on today, later on this morning, we're going to talk with Steve Holman, is DeAndre Hunter. DeAndre Hunter is
a big, you know, shot.
A big shot, but just as he's been healthy, and in this role, you're bringing him off the bench, and he's thriving in this role, man. And I just love what he's bringing to the team. You know he can play great defense, but he's contributing offensively, and he is showing up each and every game. And I think that has been so big for this team.
She got her headphones on there. If you're ready to come on here, she will articulate this a lot more than me. What am I seeing when I'm looking at Dyson Daniels, because this week I really paid attention to his play, more importantly, him and Trey back and forth. And I was impressed a little bit. And so I figure that's one component that wasn't there last year that's showing right now. But I was curious, what are you seeing overall at this team, where they are right now during this winning streak that hopefully is sustainable?
Well, this is what they wanted when they went out and drafted Hunter and Cam Reddish in the same draft. You wanted athletic, long wings to muck up the passing lanes and, you know, get steals and be that defensive force that Trey lacks a little bit of size, right? Well, didn't quite work out that way, but you retooled it a bit. You went out and got Jalen Johnson. You made the big trade. I thought it was a big trade immediately from Dyson Daniels. And look at what it looks like now, this healthy Hawks team with a bunch. Everybody 6'9", but Trey. Everybody 6'9", mm-hmm. or taller, yeah. Yeah. but Trey. And you saw it last Friday night against the Lakers when Anthony Davis was trying to get an inbound pass and three 6'9 Hawks just corralled them and surrounded them, created a jump ball that the Hawks wound up winning. And it was those little things that pushed the Hawks over the edge of that Lakers game. They made mistakes. The Lakers made mistakes. But the Lakers weren't able to capitalize on our mistakes the way we were able to capitalize on theirs.
I'm curious about something. As I watched that Laker game last night or the other night, my thing is this, because we always Lakers are like the Cowboys, all right? So we dissect them. We talk about LeBron and greatest player and all that sort of stuff right now. But here's what I'm curious about your thoughts on. Dude's going to be 40 here in a week or two, right?
Yeah.
And he is playing at this level that nobody expected. Is that out of attrition? Because despite Anthony, you know, AD there and whatever else they got on the periphery for this guy, are they making him work this hard?
Yes.
In other words, it shouldn't be for him to work this hard to still continue to be LeBron. He should be adjusting his game, kind of like those last
years. Well, he tried to do that in Cleveland.
That's what I'm saying.
With Kyrie, he was supposed to be dialing it back then. I mean, they wouldn't have won a championship if he had stayed
that
way.
Well, no, but since he's got to the Lakers, though.
Yeah, but and he can't dial it back there either.
Well, yeah, because the last few weeks, the conversation has been all over social media and YouTube. LeBron is washed. Age is getting to LeBron. Father time is getting. So it's when he doesn't put in the kind of performance he put in to get the triple-double on Friday, then that's the conversation that comes with it because the Lakers don't have anybody else to take over that give you everything that LeBron gives you. Like, they put D'Lo on the bench for our game and started Gabe Vincent just to get something new going. But they, without LeBron being on 100% as far as effort on the court and back and forth and up and down, like, I figured the way that they were running up and down the court in the first half, I'm like, oh, y'all out. Y'all gonna tire them out. They don't want to run up and down the court. They want to play more of a half-court game. But it was just transition ball back and forth, back and forth.
Do you subscribe to this theory? I think the this is me. The Lakers are in kind of the same position as the New York Jets in that they're waiting for that superstar to exit stage left, and they're going to blow this thing up and start again.
Yeah.
And J.J. asked Genie to get GM is up there. Is it Rambis? Is it Rambis' wife? Or who's the GM? No, Rob Lowe's the GM, right?
I think so, yeah.
I forgot his name, but he looks just like Rob Lowe.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I just feel like they're getting through this year. The smart thing for J.J. Redick, he did the smart thing with Bronny. Got that over with, right? And he's having this issue with LeBron showing his age these last few weeks, as you've talked about. But I just wonder if they are just going to throw their hands up in the air going, listen, this team is presently constructed. A, we're not getting any top free agents. B, we're not beating the teams that are coming out the West. And I'm talking about the young teams. Them dudes in Oklahoma City are licking their chops.
Oklahoma's a problem. Dallas is a problem.
Memphis is going to be a problem.
We got problems right
now. And so,
and the Nuggets can always threaten. They just hover around.
And listen, and I don't know how you feel about this, but Draymond got put on the bench this week.
I saw that, yeah. Draymond came off the bench. But it could be like, I mean, Draymond's never had a question of play, but it can give them that spark that you're getting from DeAndre Hunter right now. Like, in my opinion, DeAndre Hunter is coming off the bench, one, because he seems to perform better that way, and two, it strengthens the bench. When you switch and bring in a Hunter off the bench, Bogey off the bench, Big O off the bench, there's hardly any drop-off. You can continue doing what you're doing, and Kobe's starting to get there, too, where he can facilitate and shoot with more confidence. You're getting to the point where this bench can be as – I mean, like, Friday, the bench outscored the Lakers bench, like, 35 points.
Yeah.
Yep.
You need that. It can't just be super top-heavy, and that's one of the problems this team has had for a while, super top-heavy scoring and playing, and then when you go to put your other players on the bench and bring in some other guys, you're trying to weather a storm until you can get them back in versus continuing the firepower that you had. And I thought it was great for Hunter bench for Cam Reddish to see, because that was the role we wanted Cam Reddish for here. He didn't want to come off the bench, but look at what DeAndre is doing coming off the bench. He's flourishing. So 23 points, 26 points. He's flourishing.
Absolutely. And that's the thing about
Cam Reddish barely getting reps. So it's about how you see your career. He's been
a big disappointment. I thought that he would be this kind of guy that would transfer and be almost like a Carmelo Anthony type player in the league.
And I think it's more mental than anything. I think because he felt he was a certain type of player and people feel a certain type of way about coming off the bench, he didn't embrace it. And I really think that's put a damper on his career. Because now where are you at? You third on the depth chart and you coming off the bench. Where we were envisioning a six-man type of role. Yep. Exactly what Hunter is playing right now. So, I think it's a lesson to young players. Like, you know, listen to your advisors around the league and don't focus so much about who's starting and who's not, because it's really about what your role is on the team. You know how many players get paid off their specialty role?
Yeah, but you know, you can't talk that kind of truth. Mm-hmm. Some players don't hear that. And then when you do deliver it to them, then they get attitude and mm-hmm. the energy is different.
And by the
different.
Time they figure it out, it's too late.
Yeah. So good luck to Quinn with that. Getting those hard messages through.
How do we deal with this guy's coming in here today? Jokic coming off a 56-point night.
And they lost.
56-point night, and he's coming in here today.
Well, they lost.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, you wonder what's left. What's left in there?
Exactly.
After 56 points like that, and you lose to the Wizards. Ouch.
Ooh, okay, great. So that's another team that lost to the Wizards. So we don't have to talk about that no more. You know, that's been the big talk. The Wizards' only two wins have been from the Hawks. Okay, well, now the Nuggets got some, too.
Yeah, now.
You know, sometimes you're just down and out.
So, wait a minute. Let's not bury the lead here. How do you feel about these guys going into this tournament and what they got to do against the Knicks on, was it Tuesday?
I think that this is one of the smartest things the league have done, to send Trae Young and the Hawks up to New York mm-hmm. to do what they do. Because you're either going to get – either Knicks fans are going to get their validation of, you know, yay, we beat Trae Young and woo woo want to womp, or Trae is going to go up there and play the villain again. Either way, you got ratings.
Yeah,
so this is one of the brightest things that the NBA has done so far in this season. And if you can go up there and do what you've been doing, you're going to Vegas. And I'm hoping that this cup can springboard something for this franchise.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, the cup can mean whatever it means. But for a team that's been trying to get over that 500 as a franchise record, you're hoping that this is something that can spark something. Like, okay, maybe we can go out there and beat some teams. Maybe we can go out there and do some things and shake some things up and be a league disruptor.
Yeah, it did it for Indiana last year.
I don't want it to be that.
Well, I'm just saying
it's an APP.
I almost wish it was later, though. It was post Christmas. Because this is whatever happens now and the energy that comes from it, is it sustainable through? Because we're in the tall weeds right now of the season.
I think it depends on, like, who performs well in the cup. So, like, right now, the Hawks are like, everybody's really interested in what's going on in Atlanta. Because it's like, is Atlanta actually playing defense? Mm-hmm. Is it working? With Trae Young? Oh, my goodness. So, like, a team like that or a New York Knicks who everybody loves, or, like, I don't know if the Spurs are in it, but, like, a Wimby. It has to be a team that's either showing something new that everybody's trying to see is sustainable, or, like, one of the blue buds everybody wants to see win. But if it's, like, and I'm sure they're not in it, but if it was like the Pistons, I don't know if that'll do anything for you right now.
Right.
So to me, it just depends on who.
Gotcha. That is Noel. We don't have a Noel's world, but that's about as close as you're going to get. And that was pretty good.
She's all over now.
Ah, we're not done with it, too. She got some more opinions here. When these 3-hour shows, we got to find a way to infiltrate Noel and get her in here. And we love hearing what she got to say. Anyway, coming up, we're moving to the 7 o'clock hour. D. Orlando Ledbetter up in Minneapolis.
Brr.
It's warm up there. They got heat up there with the Falcons.
They got them heated, elevated crosswalks you walk in, them little bubbles that you
want. You got to go into the tunnels that take you all around the city, and you're underground. And the ice tunnel, oh, those are beautiful. Beautiful. anyway, D-Led's up there. Got a fresh casting call. Money's flying through the air. Plus, I got a story from the set of His and Hers. You ain't going to believe who I was referred to as.
Whoa.
Yeah, God, this is great. Anyway, it is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 8th day of December, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you in the Odyssey app.